Good morning, everyone. So I'd like to share with you some, announcements from our church. The first one is from the our music director, the Curry Concert.
We have the privilege of hosting the Curry Concert again this year, and so we are looking for a group of 10 people to be able to be smiling faces at the doors to show people how to get into the sanctuary. Are you volunteering, Weston? Awesome. So we're looking for 10 folks. And if you are interested, you just have to come a few minutes before the concert, and we'll meet in the parlor and get some final directions. There is a sign-up sheet in the parlor. There is a sign-up sheet in the main office. Or you can email or call myself or the office and let us know. This also counts for volunteer hours. If you are someone who needs to have volunteer hours because of school or any other reasons, we will be happy to do the paperwork for you for that as well. Thank you.
And as you might remember, 2 weeks ago, we had rummage sale from our United Women in Faith. And they made around $4,000. And that money will be given to different kinds of mission agencies. So I think they did a wonderful job. And also, Pastor Bethany, would you please share with us your announcement?
We are having an event called Parents Night Out on May 10th from 6 to 8 p.m. in the Youth Center. For anyone who wants to come, kids can have a good time and parents can run errands if they need to, do whatever they need to do, but this will be a time and a space for kids to have some fun together and do a Mother's Day craft. If you would like more information about that, you can call or text Deanna Salmonen, whose information is on the slide. There will also be something in the e-blast about that. And it will be a great time for fun and food and fellowship.
Thank you, Pastor Bethany. And we just launched a small group called Stronger Together. This is the small group for the people who lost their loved ones. They met together, and then they plan to, continually meet together throughout summer. So if you are interested in small group, just please contact Joe Winchester or Mary Yeomans. And also, let me share with the numbers our offerings from the Good Friday community service. We received a little bit over $1,000, and this offering will be used for the Midland Open Door Women and Children Shelter. And also, for our Easter Sunday offering, we raised $7,700, and this offering will be used for the church members who are in need through our member care ministry. So if you know anyone from our church who has specific needs in their lives, in their family, just let us know so that we can help them out. So I really appreciate your effort to donate your offerings to the church for this special ministry, okay? And why don't we stand up together and let us greet one another before we start to worship. Let us pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for calling us to be here. God, we are your worshipers. We want to praise and worship you, Lord, with truth and holiness. And we ask your Holy Spirit to be with us, to reveal who you are to all of us in this worship service. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Please stand with us, and as we sing our first song together, Come Thou Fount, Come Thou King.
Teach me so, my Lord, your sonnet.
next song is Father, I Adore You, and this is a Taizé type piece that we will sing verse 1, 2, and 3. And we will go back and repeat verse 1, but as we do, we are going to do it in a three-part round. So Amy is part 1, Tyler is part 2, and I am part 3, so I'm going to let you guys decide amongst yourselves and on your own who it is you would like to follow. Okay, the answer to that question is Jesus, all right? Not one of us, but for the purposes of this song, which one of us you would like to sing with. So let us get started on Father, I Adore You.
Good morning. Today, our children's blessing and prayer will be led by one of the members of our Children's Sunday School.
Our lesson today comes from John 24:13-35. One of the disciples was named Thomas. When he heard the other disciples talking about the resurrection that Jesus was alive, he doubted. Thomas told the other disciples he wouldn't believe Christ was alive again until he saw the nail marks on Jesus' hands and put his finger in the wound on the side. Jesus understood Thomas. When he saw him, Jesus said, "Do not doubt, but believe." Jesus also said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for the Holy Spirit who helps us believe. Amen.
Our next song that will lead us into prayer is a song of repentance. It's called We Are Sorry. And today we are going to be learning about repentance in our sermon. So I invite you to sit and listen to the words and meditate on those words as we sing them. And then the chorus reminds us that Jesus says, "Your sins have been forgiven." Jesus says, "You're free to start again." And sometimes it's that part that can be our stumbling block, right? We get stuck on that we're less than, that we're broken. And we need to sit and listen to Jesus telling us that, yeah, you are, but you can start again.
Mm-hmm.
Would you please bow your head and join me in the prayer? Yeah. Dear most gracious God, we give thanks to you for your steadfast goodness and love for our lives. Even though we do not fully understand how deep and wide your love is for us and for the world, we know that you never cease to patiently invite us to participate in your love and to show your love to others. God, we want to grow more in our holiness, which is our love for you and for our neighbors. As we remember John Wesley's missionary comment, "The world is my parish. We see the world is in our parish." God, we ask you to widen our hearts towards the people who are from other cultures in our neighborhood. Let us find the unceasing work of your love towards them and help us find our spots in your work. We remember our neighbors who are suffering in wars. We lift to you those in Palestine, Israel, Ukraine, Russia, Iran, and Myanmar, and many others. God, we pray for your peace to be actualized in those places and be with their leaders to find a way for reconciliation and redemption. God, heal our country that is politically and socially divided. Be with our delegates in the General Conference. Help them to discern and follow your will in the decision-making process. Help them humbly kneel down before you to listen to your voices. Let your churches in our denomination be healed, renewed, and revived, and raise a new generation who can be a faithful means of your grace to our country and to all nations. We prayed in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now we come to a time of an offering. Please take out our French pass and let us know you are here with us. And also, We really appreciate your continued support for the missions we have in our church. So we are here to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And also, there are still a lot of people, even in our community, who needs to listen to the voices of God. There, you know, He's inviting, you know, voice to His heaven. And Midland First is the shadow of God's heaven on earth. Please continually support our missions with your prayers and also financial support. Ushers, please come forward. Yeah.
The moment.
dear God, thinking about our lives from the perspective we have about who you are, we surrender our lives to you as we give these offerings to you, Lord. God, we are yours. We just pray that use us and use our lives only for your glory. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture reading this morning is from Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. And to the angel of the church in Pergamum write, these are the words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know where you are living, where Satan's throne is, yet you are holding fast to my name, and you did not deny your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you, where Satan lives. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the people of Israel, so that they would eat food sacrificed to idols and engage in sexual immorality. So you also have some who hold to the teaching of Nicolaitans. Repent then, if not, I will come to you soon and wage war against them with the sword of my mouth. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give a white stone, and on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'd like to invite you to join me in the prayer. Dear God, we are in your presence. We open our hearts towards you. God, speak to our hearts, and we will obey your will. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Do you remember the new sermon series we have, you know, today? Do you remember? We are on the third week of our new sermon series. Okay. It is not what we think of our church. It is what Jesus Christ thinks of his church. That is our sermon series, the name of the sermon series. As we listen to the messages of the risen Christ to the seven churches in Asia Minor, in Revelation chapters 2 through 3, I'd like to, you know, listen to the special messages we can hear from God toward our church. It's because those messages in Revelation chapter 2 through 3, the churches, in our tradition, we have accepted those messages as our own. So let me quote this, David Ohn. In the ancient church, seven churches addressed by John were widely regarded as a symbol of the universal church. So the messages there are the universal messages for the universal churches. And then the messages of these seven letters are applicable both to today's individual local churches and to the Christians who are in them, which means, yes, Jesus Christ still speaks to us through the messages we have in those seven churches in Asia Minor. Amen? Amen. So I'd like to share with you three messages from the, you know, scripture today. The first one is this, the new knowledge of Jesus Christ. The new knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is because each of the messages we have in Revelation chapter 2 through 3, all the messages begins with a special revelation about who Jesus Christ is to the churches. Think about it. Why? When Jesus Christ shares his message to the churches, he never fails to speak about himself. his special revelation, who he is, to the churches. What he is doing right now for the churches. It all begins our new knowledge about who Jesus Christ is. His message to Ephesus begins with, "These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lamps." What does that mean? He still has the authority over his church leaders, including the messengers. And also, he knows everything about us. He knows how we are living, even at this time. And also, Jesus' message to Smyrna starts with this. "These are the words of the first and the last, who was the dead and came to life," which means Jesus Christ has become the first fruit of resurrection for all of us. Jesus Christ was dead, but that was not all. He was resurrected. He is still alive. He begins his message with his special revelation. "I'm the resurrected one." What about today's message? It says, "These are the words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword," which means Jesus Christ is the ultimate judge of our life. He will judge us according to the words he has for us. So think about it. Who is the judge? Jesus Christ. You will have the time to stand before the throne of the judge, and that you have to share what you have done in your life before the judge. So your life has to be defined by the time when you stand before the throne of our judge. Each of the churches in the world must unwaveringly stand on their confession of their faith in Jesus Christ, which is revealed perfectly in the Bible. Our life is the same, our family is the same, and our missions and our businesses and our work are the same. Everything has to be based on our faith in Jesus Christ. That is the beginning. If we don't have that kind of foundation in our life, everything we have is unstable. So what is your faith confession about Jesus Christ? And who is Jesus Christ to you? Is he the reason for your study? Is he the reason for your work? Is he the reason for your family to live together, to help out one another, to love one another? Jesus Christ is the foundation of our church. If we don't have this foundation, everything will be unstable. Even the relationship between husband and wife. If they don't have a strong foundation, if they don't have a relationship founded on Jesus Christ, their relationship can be very shaky. Your relationship with your children is the same. What is the motivation of your nurturing for your family members? That motivation has to be based on your faith confession in Jesus Christ. That is why in each of the messages we have in the seven churches in Asia Minor starts with new revelation about who Jesus Christ is and what he is doing in our lives. The second message is this: the omniscience of God. Have you ever you know, heard the word omniscience, which means knowing everything. God knows everything, right? Jesus Christ knows the church's persecution and their faithfulness to him. And let us read Revelation 2:13 together. I know where you are living, where Satan's throne is, yet you are holding fast to my name, and you did not deny your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you where Satan lives. Here Jesus says, I know where you are living. You are living in Midland. And Pastor Yom, you are from, you know, South Korea, and now you are living in Midland. God knows everything about that. You are living in Sanford. Your church is in Midland. God knows about it. And also at the same time, God knows the situations we are facing right now. And also God knows our responses to him, to the faith we have. This scripture teaches us about the doctrine of the omniscience of God, which means God knows everything, even things in our innermost being, as our creator, redeemer, and sustainer. God knows everything. Think about it. If God knows about me in every detail of my life, what responses do we need to show to our God? Think about it. Jesus says, I knew where you are living and where Satan's throne is. Satan's throne might refer to the magnificent altar of Zeus and many other temples dedicated to pagan gods and goddesses in Pergamon. That is why the Pergamon is called the Satan's seat. Or it might refer to Pergamon as the center of emperor worship at the time. Either way, it means the church was in a situation that their missions were not possible. Still, at the time, they were in persecution. But Jesus said, I know what the challenges you are experiencing right now in your life. Even though the church was in persecution and one of its members was martyred, the Christians there did not deny their faith in Jesus Christ. This teaches us that a witnessing church will be a persecuted church. And also, it reveals that Jesus Christ knows our sins. Revelation 2:14 through 15. Let us read this in a slide together. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put the stumbling block before the people of Israel, so that they would eat food sacrificed to idols and engage in sexual immorality. So you also have some who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Here, we can find, according to Numbers 25, Balaam, who was a pagan prophet, told Balak that he could overcome the Israelites if he would involve them in Moabite religious feast that included sacred prostitution. This would render them unfaithful to God and consequently subject to his discipline. The pagans in Pergamum, likewise, were evidently encouraging the Christians to join in their pagan feast and the sexual immorality that often accompanied those feasts. The Nicolaitans evidently regarded these sins as acceptable under the pretense of Christian liberty. Their teaching was this: it will be okay. As a Christian, we have freedom and liberty. we can accept some of the cultures we are facing in Pergamum, which includes sexual immorality. That is why Jesus Christ, quoting Numbers 25, the story they already have in Israel, and then Jesus Christ is correcting them. Okay, here's the word. The Israelites, they had gone through the same time. Do you know what happened? They received discipline from God. So here's the word. This word can correct you. Even Jesus Christ quoting the God's word to correct his church. That is why he said, I have the two-edged swords. Here is the words of God. You need to be corrected. That is why John Wesley wanted to become a man of one book. Homo unius libri. He says, I have thought I'm a creature of a day, passing through life as an arrow through the air. I'm a spirit come from God and returning to God, just hovering over the great gulf, till a few moments, hence I am no more seen. I drop into an unchangeable eternity. I want to know one thing, the way to heaven, how to land safe on that happy shore. God himself has condescended to teach the way. For this very end, he came from heaven. He has written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book. At any price, give me the book of God. I have it. Here is knowledge enough for me. Let me be homo unius libri, a man of one book. Here then, I am far from the busy ways of man. I sit down alone. Only God is here. In his presence I open. I read his book for this end, to find the way to heaven. Here I think when John Wesley mentioned, I'd like to find the way to heaven, does not mean he was not sure about his salvation. It means he wants to be perfect. Perfecting sanctification, which means loving God and loving our neighbors throughout our life. But he wants to be guided by the one book, which is the Bible, to fulfill his perfecting grace in his life. How about us? Many times, we try to depend on our own experiences and our own discernment and our own knowledge of our lives when we try to make important decisions in our life. But we have the one book, the Bible. We are to be guided by the Word of God continually, especially at this kind of a time, as we are entering into the new season of a transition. Let us read this scripture together. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Last but not least, repentance. If we understand God knows where we are, our challenges, and our faithfulness or unfaithfulness to him, what are we supposed to do? We have to repent of ourselves, of our sins. Our understanding of the omniscience of God, who knows everything, always leads us to repentance. Revelation 2:16, repent, then if not, I will come to you soon and wage war against them with the sword of my mouth. And then Psalm 139, it says, where can I go from your spirit? Well, where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thought. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When we talk about the omniscience of God, we always refer to Psalm 139. We understand that God knows everything what's going on in our lives. He knows even the innermost thing in my heart. Then what is next? Repent. Here the psalmist says, God, just search me. Can you find any wicked things in my life, in my heart? So search me. I'm here. So if we understand God knows everything about our lives, that knowledge always leads us to repentance. Starting this, you know, Tuesday, our denomination will have the General Conference in North Carolina. I do not know what will happen after the General Conference, but we are going to have a time to listen to the results of the General Conference from a delegate from our conference, the General Conference, sometime in May. And also our DS will come to our church after our conference make a decision about the ramifications of the General Conference result. Please know that you don't have to worry about anything. God knows everything what we are going through in His churches. He is walking among us. The things we need is to pray for our delegates from all over the world so that they can discern God's will in their decision-making process. And also we have to pray for ourselves too. Because if there is anything in our heart that is wicked in God's perfect perspective, then we have to pour out our hearts toward our God. So this is a great time that we can be renewed as we pray for the General Conference and also as we pray for ourselves. When the Holy Spirit guides you to repent of anything that is impure in your heart, please do it. And God will use your prayers for the General Conference. Can you join me in the prayer to pray for the General Conference? I know there are some people from our congregation who express their concerns about the General Conference, but I know God is with us, and we will be with our God continually. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear God, we are so glad that we have been called by you to be your family together. God, please be with our delegates from all of the world as they are going to have a meeting in North Carolina. God, please fill the place where they're going to be with your Spirit so that they can be guided by your Spirit and they can make the right decisions under your guidance through the Spirit. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
I invite you to stand and sing our last song today, What a Beautiful Name It Is.
Hidden glory in creation.
brothers and sisters, don't be afraid of anything. May God go with you wherever you go. May our Lord Jesus Christ continually show His goodness and mercy to you. May the Holy Spirit give you humble heart so that you can repent of your sins. Now go in peace. Amen.